Vrindavanam ki jai. Vacharadam ki jai. Navadipdam ki jai. Jagadasami ki jai. Jumai ki jai. Srimati Lasadevi ki jai. Samveda Bhakta Vrindavanam ki jai. Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Om. All gloriously assembled devotees, all gloriously assembled devotees, all gloriously assembled devotees, all glorious to Shri Guru and Gauranga. Okay. So, Omagana Timiranda Shah Gananjana Shilakaya Chakshur Meditam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruvena Mahat Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavanishri Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye. So, last week we spoke about the stories of Radharani's appearance both in the material world and in the spiritual world, that is, Gokul and Goloka. And we also had Vedavyasa Priyamaharaj tell some stories about Radharani's qualities and characteristics. So, first I'd like to discuss about who Radharani is. We find the residents of Vrindavan. They are chanting Jai Radhe, 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 Shyam. Now, if you go around Vrindavan, they say that. And actually, there's one sadhu who's taken it as his duty to actually write Radha on every tree. You've seen this in Vrindavan? Anyone's ever seen this? Every tree, every tree you go around, you see Radha written, and that's the sadhu who's doing that. Now, why would people do that? What is the reason for that? Well, there's a very good reason. Is that Krishna, of course we hear about Krishna, hey, Krishna Karana Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate, Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate. It's an interesting prayer. Karana Sindhu, Krishna is an ocean of mercy. So what's greater than an ocean? But Krishna's mercy, even an ocean has no limits, obviously. But Krishna gives some preconditions for his mercy. His precondition is in Gita, Sarva Dharmam Parichaja Maam Ekam Sharanam Braja. You have to surrender first. Then you go back to Godhead. And we're not denying that condition. Obviously, we're not proposing a new philosophy here. But Krishna has, according to Srila Prabhupada, a feminine counterpart, who is Srimati Radharani, who is Krishna's Adi Shakti, that means the original energy of the Supreme Lord. And being the feminine counterpart of the Supreme Lord, she is more merciful than the Lord, because just like you see in this world, of course, is a reflection of the spiritual realm. One can understand the cause by studying the effects. You understand? So we can understand somewhat of the spiritual world by examining this material world. What I mean by cause and effect, let's take, for example, if someone has an automobile accident, God forbid, we don't want you to have an automobile accident, they actually don't study the cause, they study the effect, and they try to understand the cause by studying the effect. Because they don't have a time machine. They can't turn back the clock and watch it all on video or be there in person. So they see, what do they see? They see the skid marks on the road, right? They see, you know, what part of the car is banged in. You know, of course, after they take the people to the hospital. That's the first priority. So they're looking at the effect. And then they can understand somewhat of the cause. Not perfect understanding, but enough to decide who is guilty, who is not guilty. So in the same way, we can look at this material world and see certain types of relationships and understand that in the spiritual realm, which is the source of this material world, and Krishna, of course, is the source of everything, Ahang Sarvasya Prabhu Mataksarvam Pravartate, there must be similar things, but actually filled with eternity bliss and knowledge. There's no car accidents in the spiritual world, for example. So let's look at the relationship. Anyway, men and women. Women tend to be a little bit more soft-hearted than men. Right? Sentimental. I don't want to offend anybody. But sentimental, soft-hearted, that's nice. You know, just like if you just have men doing things, you get a little bit, you know, things get a little heavy. You know, friends and enemies. I'll give you an example. Let's say when Krishna was there with the Pandavas right after Aswatthama had killed the five sleeping sons of the Pandavas and, you know, fired his Brahmastra and tried to kill little Parikshit in the womb. Then Krishna said, go get Aswatthama and kill him, right? But Draupadi, in spite of having her sons killed previously, she was quite soft-hearted, isn't it? She said, basically, that Kripi was Dronacharya's wife, and also Aswatthama's mother. You know, Kripi lost her husband. You know, you don't want to do to her what, you know, so many people had done to them. You know, then she's going to lose her son. You know, you don't want to do this. So she became very, very soft-hearted. And Arjuna, he was sort of caught in the horns of a dilemma. On one hand, he was told by, you know, Krishna, and of course Bhimsen, there's no doubt about it, kill the guy. And on the other hand, you know, how can you kill the Brahmin, you know? And of course Draupadi, she had so many arguments. So Arjuna sort of had to do a win-win out of the whole thing. He had to fulfill everyone's order. So what he did is he cut off the jewel of his head. And of course Krishna arranged that Aswatthama would be cursed so he would smell bad for 5,000 years. That curse is ended right now, so he could be visiting our temple right now for all you know, and you wouldn't know about it. Anyway, so that story is there in the Mahabharata. But the point I'm making, not to get too far afield because we want to talk about Radharani, is that Draupadi was very soft-hearted. And so Srimati Radharani, being the feminine counterpart, the Adi Shakti of the Lord, and also Ladini Shakti, just like the Lord's spiritual realm is composed of Ladini Samvit Sandini potencies, you understand? That means Samvit means the cognitive potencies. For those of you who don't know what the word cognitive means, it means to know or knowledge. You know, just like you have Satchitananda. Let's do it more simply. Satchitananda. So Sat means eternal, Chit means knowledge, and Ananda means bliss, right? So a different way of explaining that is Sandini, Samvit, and Ladini, okay? Sandini is the existential potency. That means that maintains the existence. And that Balarama is in charge of that. And so the Ladini potency, the pleasure potency of the Lord, personified as Srimati Radharani. She is the pleasure potency of the Lord. And so she's the one who gives Krishna... Oops, screen went black. That's right. So she's the one who gives Krishna pleasure and who can attract Krishna and can verily control Krishna. Therefore, she's known as Madan Mohan Mohini. Just like Krishna is known as Madan Mohan, because all of us in this world are attracted by Cupid, right? Madan Mohan, we're bewildered. Madan Mohan, we're bewildered by Cupid. But Krishna's Madan Mohan, so if we actually hear and chant about Krishna and come in contact with Krishna, we'll lose desire for society, friendship, and love in this world. That's a higher taste. In other words, you don't have to really engage in harsh austerities to renounce this world, but you just have to hear and chant about Krishna, and automatically you're in so much ecstasy, you don't notice what's happening practically in the world. Of course, you still go to work, but we don't want to scare anybody. You know, you hear and chant and neglect. No, you do your duties perfectly, but you're absorbed in Krishna, so all the threefold miseries appear very insignificant because your consciousness is very high. So Krishna attracts us away from Cupid, and Radharani attracts Krishna. She attracts the person who attracts us away from Cupid. That's pretty interesting, isn't it? And Krishna also attracts Cupid, too, which is even more interesting. So, being soft-hearted, the two qualities, she attracts Krishna, There's many qualities, of course. We're not going to go through the whole list, because I believe you did that the other day. But she attracts Krishna, first of all, and she's more soft-hearted than Krishna. And she controls Krishna. One of the qualities of Radharani is she keeps Krishna wrapped around her little finger. Not like ladies do in this world through guilt trips and things like that, but through love. And this is unalloyed love. In other words, her love is so great that she's willing to undergo any pain in order to please Krishna. That's love. The love we find in the material world is somewhat like, you know, I scratch your back, you scratch my back, and as soon as you stop scratching, I will stop scratching. You understand? It's like business, generally a business deal. But the love in the, like Prahlad Maharaj, let's take the example of Prahlad Maharaj, who is working under the jurisdiction of the internal potency. When Lord Nrsingadev offered him everything, anything he wanted, something that would be like the fulfillment of our wildest dreams, I mean, I think, you know, I have to be honest, if God said to me anything you wanted, you know, I'd have a shopping list pretty long. I'd say, please, can I take my computer out? You know, I just want to write down all the things. And be just like, this is Christmas time. Wow. Better than Christmas time. So, but Prahlad Maharaj, he said, you know, I'm not a merchant. The Baniya. I'm not a merchant. So, but, you know, if you want to do something, I'm sick with compassion for all these fallen conditioned souls. And so, please save them, especially my father. So this is Prahlad Maharaj's prayer. But there was no business. It's simply, I want to please you, Lord Nrsingadev. So everyone who works under Radharani, all the devotees work under Radharani. Radharani means Radharani, her expansions, Lakshmi, the internal potency, and even Lakshmi expands as Durga in this world. So in one sense, everybody's working under Radharani, either directly or indirectly, just like we see everyone is serving Krishna, either voluntarily or involuntarily, right? Either by force, by Krishna's external energy, and that's Durga. Durga, the word Durga means to move with great difficulty. I was explaining this to somebody who just got out of prison. And he said, I like to worship Durga. And I said, well, you're worshiping the warden. That's Prabhupada explained like that. You're worshiping the warden of the prison house. And he said, what? Who? I said, yup. Warden means to ward you in. It's the same as Durga. Just think, ward you in. They keep you in. And Durga means move with great difficulty. Keep you in. So warden is a synonym of Durga in English. Anyway, so Prabhupada also said the thing. He said, Durga is the warden of this prison house, the material world. So, anyway, so therefore, we approach Radha Rani, and we approach Radha Rani not only by chanting her name, but by serving her and praying for the same, what will please her is having the same serving mood that she has, that she's willing to undergo any hardship to serve Krishna. Like the story that we all know, that when Krishna had a headache, nothing could cure his headache but the dust of the feet of his devotees. He told that to Narada Muni. And Narada Muni went around to all the doctors and all the devotees and said, please give me the dust of your feet. And everyone said, no way, because this is a great offense. And for those of you not from India, you don't know how dirty feet are. You know, for those of you who are from the West, you think, you know, feet, just another part, my tongue, my feet, they're all clean, you know. In India, we actually have some idea of dirty parts of the body, isn't it? Like the tongue is moochy, it's not clean, and the feet, you know, you touch someone with your feet, it's a major offense. Even if you step on the shadow of a Brahmin, traditionally, I mean, the Brahmin would be offended, right? So, feet. So, anyway. So the point is that Narada Muni was asking for the dust of the feet of the devotees, and he went to all the devotees and he said, no, because we don't want to go to hell. We just want to stay here serving Krishna, having a good old time. That's all right. We're not criticizing devotees. But, and then he went to the gopis, specifically Radharani, and they said, what? Take it. Take it. Please take it. And Narada Muni said, what? Are you out of your minds? And they said, no, we don't care if we're going to hell. We just want Krishna's headache to be cured. So that's Anyabhi Lashita Shunyam Jnana Karman Avritamanaku Yena Krishnana Shilanam Bhakti Rutamam. That means that's pure devotional service. Now, I don't want to push everyone to come to that platform immediately. Not immediately. But anyway, that's love. That's ecstasy. That's real happiness to have that sort of love for Krishna. That's the goal. It's a gradual process. Don't worry. It won't happen tomorrow. And if it does, you'll be happy. So anyway, so Radharani has that mood, and we should serve Radharani in that mood and appreciate her activities in service to Krishna. By hearing about her activities in service to Krishna, one can actually imbibe that same mood, and by serving her servants, one can imbibe that same mood. Okay? So now for the stories, okay? What you've all been waiting for. So to illustrate the point, when Radharani was with Krishna in the spiritual world, Krishna said to Radharani, you should go to the material world. And she loves Krishna so much, she said, I don't want to go to this material world because I'll have to see so many rascals. And Krishna said, well, here's a special dispensation. You won't see anyone until you see me. And so she agreed. So when Radharani appeared in this world, and we told the stories of her appearances, three or four different stories, coming in a lotus flower and the Jamuna, and, you know, there's other stories appearing from the Vindhya Mountains and being transported by Putana, but I'm not going to get into those stories now. When she appeared, she was blind. And so when it came time for the Namakarana is the samskar where you give the child a name, her father, Vrishabhana, was thinking, how can we do the Namakarana? Because the girl's blind. But Narada Muni said, no, you go ahead. And so they invited Nanda Maharaj, and along with Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda came who? Krishna. Who's Krishna? Who's Krishna? What? Supreme Personality of Godhead? Not in this pastime. He's the most beloved. He's Yashoda Nandana. You're in Vaikuntha. So... That was a trick question. I know he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But anyway, for all intents and purposes, in this pastime, the residents of Vrindavan are not thinking like that. So they invited Krishna, and when Krishna crawled... Actually, here they put Radharani... Here's the story. They put Radharani, Mother Yashoda, put Radharani on her lap, and then Krishna just got down, and he said, what happened? He didn't say, but, you know, because he didn't speak at that time. He started pulling on her sari or whatever she was. I want two. So they put both of them on the same lap. And then when Radharani could smell, it was Krishna. And she opened her eyes and she saw Krishna. It's a nice story, isn't it? Okay, so here's some more stories. They're interesting. You may not have heard, or perhaps you have heard. So Narada Muni, this is the story of Narada Muni's first darshan of Radharani. So once upon a time, Narada Muni, of course, is our eternal spaceman. He doesn't need a space shuttle. He just travels with his Veena, chanting Radhika Ramana, like this. And so he went to Goloka. And he went to Goloka, and he saw that everything was just empty in Goloka. And he was wondering, you know, what's happening in Goloka? But then he was informed that everybody's gone to Gokul, the material world, to be with Krishna. So he flew down immediately to Boma Vrindavan. Boma is like Bhumi, you know, earthly Vrindavan. And he saw baby Krishna in bed. And then he started to visit every house in Brajabhumi. Finally, he came to Vrishabhanu's house. Vrishabhanu, of course, is the father of Srimati Radharani, and Kirtana is the mother. And then he saw this little boy, this nice little boy there. His name was Sridham. Sridham is actually the brother of Srimati Radharani. And this is actually very interesting. Sridham is the brother, and even though he's the brother, there's another little boy called Sudham. Subal, actually. Subal, who actually looks like Radharani, except in a male form. So sometimes they switch roles, you know, just to trick everybody. So he saw Sridham, and he blessed Sridham to be a friend of Krishna and Balaram. So Narada Muni was blessing all these eternal residents of Vrindavan. Then Vrishabhanu told Narada Muni about this young girl. This was before she opened her eyes, actually. Who was the sister of Sridham, who was blind. And she was also deaf and dumb. In addition to that, she couldn't see or hear or speak. Everyone was bewildered. So Vrishabhanu said, please bless her to be normal. Please come and see her. So Narada, he took her and put her on his lap. It's nice. Narada Muni is also very paternal. He put her on his lap, and immediately he started to feel love of Krishna. You know, he was absorbing, or, you know, just reflecting, or feeling, or somehow or other, you know, it affected him more and more. Of course, he ordinarily has so much love of Krishna. But he became more and more immersed in the love of Krishna. He started to shake in ecstasy. He couldn't control himself. He started to roll on the ground like that. And he just said, wow. He became like a stone, as described. That's one of the bhavas. You know, just being in touch with Radharani. So that's, you know, that shows that if you actually come in touch with Radharani, you will become immersed in love of Krishna. So he started to offer her prayers. And as he was offering her prayers, she manifested her Kishori form. Kishori means like 14 years old. As a young girl, 14 years old, and all the various sakis, that means her associates, appeared around her. And Narada became stunned, you know, because there's a little baby, you know, who's blind and deaf and dumb, and then all of a sudden, what's happening? And so to give Narada Muni further ecstasy, the Sakis actually started to take water that was used for wash Radharani's feet and throw at Narada Muni's head. Oh, man. And Narada Muni became further and further and further stunned. He couldn't believe his eyes. Then all of a sudden the gopis disappeared and Radha became a baby again. And Narada was informed that you'll see all this in the future. Mm-hmm. So later on, actually, it's described that Narada Muni, he wanted to perceive Krishna's pastimes with Srimati Radharani so much that he took a gopi form. And that gopi form is Nardi. He entered into the Kushama Sarovara. That's right near, at Govardhan, there's actually Narada Kund. There's a place called Narada Kund, which is very close to Kushama Sarovara. And that's the place where Narada Muni wrote the Narada Pancharatra and the Narada Bhakti Sutras. He was told by Krishna, and that's also the place, wait, there's a little more information. It's also the place where Narada Muni instructed Prahlad Maharaj. When he took Prahlad Maharaj, Indra had Prahlad Maharaj, Indra had Kayada when he's ready to, you know, practically kill Prahlad Maharaj as he was born. So Narada Muni took him to this place called Narada Kund, which is right near Kushama Sarovara. And Narada argued with Krishna a little bit. He said, how can I stay here and write all this literature? Krishna said to him that this Narada Kund, or anywhere in Braj, is not part of the material world. So the curse that you have, because Narada had a curse, you can't remain in one place for very long. Because Narada has this interesting habit of encouraging people to take sannyas when their fathers don't like it. Because in India, the son is very important, right? That's your old age insurance. That's the person that performs the pinda. I mean, it's just like, If I go and tell your son to take sannyas, I'll never get invited to your house again. Isn't Rishikesh? I mean, Rishikesh will say, no, can't, Maharaj, don't come anymore. My daughter, you can tell her to take sannyas. That's all right. But son, no. So, anyway. So, uh, So Narada has this habit of telling boys to take sannyas, especially the kids of Daksha. Daksha had a lot of kids, 10,000, then 1,000, Haryashas, Savalashvas, and he got cursed. Daksha cursed Narada Muni that he couldn't reside in a place for very long. So Krishna assured Narada Muni he could stay in Vrindavan. So that's the benefit of Vrindavan. It's not the material world. Now, you may go there, and you see all these things that make it appear like it's in the material world, right? Like you see dirt there, you'll see beggars there, you'll see, what else? Pigs. Dacoits. But the monkeys are nice. But you'll see all these things. Then Prabhupada explains this is actually a covering, what we call a veneer. Just like you have a cheap table. Like this is a cheap table here. I hate to tell you. It's not solid wood. Underneath is chipboard. You understand chipboard? Yeah, real cheap wood. So it's just a thin covering. Like you see, you can't see. But if you could see what I'm looking at, it's a little scratch in it, and all you see is ugly chipboard there. That's a veneer. So there's this veneer of Maya or Yoga Maya that covers the Holy Dham. So those who don't have spiritual vision, it protects the Holy Dham. Cannot actually see the true form of the Holy Dham. In other words, you can't really go to Vrindavan just by getting on a plane. You have to change your consciousness. That's the real thing. Then you can appreciate Vrindavan. So Vrindavan is the spiritual. So that's an interesting story. Let's see. Oh, here's another story. Now, we all know there's so many stories in the Vaishnava literatures, Goswami literatures, how Radharani, she is cooking for Krishna. And actually, Srila Prabhupada said that the kitchen is Radharani's domain. When he was talking to the devotees about installing deities in the temple, he said the kitchen must be very clean. Radharani is cooking in the kitchen. You're assisting her. So many statements from Srila Prabhupada in that regard. So there's an interesting story about this, because we know that Radharani was always brought from Varshana to Nandagram to cook for Krishna every day. And the reason for that is as follows. Once upon a time, Radharani was very, very small, and she was playing with her little Krishna doll. That's nice. And she was cooking, offering like that, like we do deity worship. So she was doing this as a little girl. And as she was doing this, who arrived but Durvasa Muni? And Durvasa Muni has a really bad temper sometimes. And he loves to eat. But you don't know when he's going to want to eat. It's like you don't want him as a guest. Forgive me if he's listening anyway. Because what happens is that you prepare a giant meal for him and he said, I'm not hungry. And then he'll wake up at 1 o'clock in the morning and say, I'm hungry, where's the food? And you can't give him the leftovers. You say, well, I'll just warm up, I'll just nuke or microwave. That's microwave for those of you who don't know. I'll just microwave what I cooked earlier. It has to be completely fresh and has to be ready in 1 minute for him. So you really don't want him as a guest. I mean, just like when the Kurus, Duryodhana, sent him to the Pandavas, right after the Pandavas ate, the whole idea is that Durvasa would actually curse them, because Draupadi's pot, she had a pot that could provide unlimited food until she ate from it, and she had already eaten from it. The Draupadi's pot couldn't provide any more food, so Durvasa Muni and his 10,000 disciples, he doesn't travel alone, would get so angry they'd be cursed. So we know the story. Of course, Durvasa Muni arrived there. He went to take a bath. Draupadi cried out for Krishna. Krishna appeared. He found a little morsel of rice in the pot, ate it. And Durvasa Muni, because he's God, and by watering the root of the tree, all the leaves get watered. So you serve God, everybody gets satisfied. So because he's God, Durvasa Muni and his disciples' bellies just like blew out like this. They became distended. And they became afraid of going to someone's house, because if you can't eat and you go to someone's house, that's insult to them, isn't it? So anyway, so what happened is Durasa Muni arrived. And all the Sakis, the friends of Radharani, that's what Saki means. Like Saka means male friend, Saki means female friend. Like Krishna would call Draupadi Saki, not because she was a gopi or anything like that. Saki doesn't mean gopi. It means friend. Saka, Saki. So because Krishna and Draupadi had this wonderful relationship of friendship. See, Arjuna was not the only friend of Krishna. Krishna also had friends who were ladies. I'm not saying girlfriends deliberately. You know, friends who were ladies. In other words, just had this friendly relationship. It wasn't conjugal or anything like this. So Draupadi had that relationship. So when the Sakis saw Durvasa, they ran away. Yeah, because they're afraid. I'd be afraid of him too. I'd probably run away and have to everyone tell Durvasa that I'm not in town anymore. Turn off my mobile phone, disconnect the computer, whatever. So, but Radha remained, and Durvasa said, "Can you please make me some sweet rice with your own hands? Isn't she a little girl?" So Radharani cooked some sweet rice with her hands, and Durvasa was so pleased, he said, "Whatever your hands touch when you're cooking, that will be like nectar, and will actually increase the life, strength, beauty, fame of anybody who partakes that food." Wow. So what happened when Yashoda heard this, that was it. She said, every day, Radharani has to come. And Yashoda's the queen of Vrindavan. I mean, in one sense, Nanda Maharaj is the king. I mean, Krishna is the king, obviously. But, you know, in the external sense, Nanda Maharaj is the king. And so he just ordered. He ordered Jatila, first Kirtida and then Jatila. Kirtida was Radharani's mother. And Jatila to bring Radharani every day to cook for Krishna. And sometimes there was some interference. You know, Radharani's mother-in-law, sister-in-law, they tried to interfere with. But Krishna always made tricks so it would happen. And it's interesting, when Krishna would be taking food, and I don't want to say exactly prasad, because prasad is what after it's offered to Krishna. When Krishna would be eating, he'd be sneaking glances at Radharani. Like that. And sometimes just to aggravate her, describing the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, he would just take a sweet bowl and say, "Yuck! You, it's sour." And he would give it to one of his friends. And such a nice pastime like that. Okay, so that's why Radharani is always cooking for Krishna. Hope we have time to tell a few more stories. Here's another story. That Narada Muni, of course, Radharani is famous also for her man, that means her anger towards Krishna. And that anger towards Krishna pleases Krishna. Krishna likes that sort of thing because it spices up the relationship. There's two prominent gopis, Chandravali and Radharani, and Chandravali is very submissive. And she later appears in Krishna's Dwarka pastimes as Rukmini, very submissive. And Radharani appears as Satyabhama. Not submissive. Bam means left. Okay? Like someone, I don't know if I should say it. Someone mentioned the other day, like Obama. So anyway, I had to use it, say that joke. I'm sorry. It's because he's left-handed, he plays golf, he's left-handed. Anyway. What can I say? I mean, I can't resist that. Radharani, she's left-handed gopi, and Krishna wants to see her angry sometimes, get upset so he can make up with her. And sometimes Krishna even goes and begs at her feet. There was one poet, Vaishnava poet, Jayadeva Goswami, who was writing Vaishnava literature, the Gita Govinda, of which the Dasavatar shloka is part. And as he was writing, he wrote this part that says, Radharani, the Krishna bows down at Radharani's feet. And he thought, oh my God, what is this? Krishna's God. Not, oh my God. But Krishna's God. How can he bow down to Radharani's feet? And he just went away and took his bath. You know, he thought, you know, I just need to cool my head down a little bit. And in the meantime, Krishna came in the guise of Jayadeva Goswami, completed that particular verse. You know, Krishna bows down to Radharani's feet. Jayadeva Goswami later came back, found that Krishna had taken a food or prasad at his house from his wife. And then Krishna completed the verse, and then he understood that was an absolute truth, that Krishna actually bows down to Radharani's feet. So Krishna likes that. There's even one lake called Manasarovara in Braj, which is called the Lake of Anger. And you go there, that's the specific place where Krishna, where Radharani goes when she's angry, and Krishna goes to beg forgiveness. Anyway, so Narada Muni wanted to see Radharani angry one day. And so he had this whole trick. He started visiting Radharani, praising her. Oh, you're such a great personality. You're the great devotee of Krishna. And of course, she's very merciful. And she said to Krishna, guess what? You know, Narada Muni's been praying to me a lot and visiting me a lot. And Krishna said, uh-oh. This means trouble. I mean, Narada Muni doesn't do something for no reason whatsoever. You know, he has some motive there. I mean, it's pure devotional service, but Narada Muni doesn't stand around and make prayers. He wants something from those prayers, some spiritual thing, not material thing. So, so Radha didn't take Krishna so seriously. She was thinking, you know, Krishna, he's tricky too. So Krishna said, just wait. You will see what will happen. So then what happened is that Narada pleased Krishna very much. He was playing on his veena, chanting Hare Krishna. And Krishna likes to hear his holy names. And Krishna said, all right. What does they say in Hindi? Mango? Is that right? Mango. I like mangoes, but mango. Mango means ask for benediction. And Narada Muni said, I'll ask later. Then save the benediction up. So a few days later, there was a swing ceremony for Radha and Krishna being arranged. You know, the swings were decorated with nice garlands and flowers and everything like that. And Krishna was there, but Radharani had not yet shown up. So Narada said, I want my benediction now. I want you to swing with Lalita now. So Krishna started swinging with Lalita, and Narada Muni, that instant, he just like flew away to where Radharani was. And he said, guess what happened with that dacoit, you know, that Devalchi? He's swinging with Lalita. And Radharani, and her mom, you know, huh? She came and she saw it. And then she disappeared. Krishna couldn't find her. And so Narada Muni also disappeared at that point, too. You know, what do they say? I know nothing, nothing, nothing. It's not my fault. So Krishna was all around. He was running to the Kuns and Radha Kund. He was crying. He was asking. He was asking everybody, where's Radharani? Finally, they came together and Krishna said, how did you know I was swinging with Lalita? And Radharani said, Narada Muni told me. And Krishna said, ah, now I understand everything. Don't you trust this guy in the future? And then Krishna and Radharani swung together. That was a nice story, isn't it? I like that. That's one of my favorite stories. So, let's see. I have so many stories here that I wrote down. Here's the story about the peacock form of Krishna. So once upon a time, Radharani was in Varshana, and she was blocked from going to cook for Krishna, and so or to even see Krishna. So Krishna, he went to Varshana. Right near Varshana, there's a little hill. It's where a temple called Mor Kutir is situated. Anyone's been there? Mor Kutir means the peacock kutir. So Krishna went to this hill, and then he started to call out like a peacock. Like, yeah. Is that right?
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Never thought I'd get that. Anyway, so he started to call out like a peacock. And Rani said, I want to go see the peacock, Mom. Because she wasn't married at that time. So she went to the top of that hill, entered the cave, and Krishna and Radharani had their pastimes, and Krishna put his head on Radharani's lap. But Kirtida was very worried, what's going on here? She suspected something. So she climbed this hill, following the footsteps, went into the cave. But the cave was very dark. She couldn't see anything. But Krishna could see her. So Krishna had to hide out. You'll find this happens quite commonly in Radha and Krishna's pastimes. Krishna assumes different forms. So Krishna actually took the form of a peacock. And when her eyes, Kirtida's eyes, adjusted to the cave, she just saw a peacock on Radharani's lap. She said, oh, just a peacock. No problem. So after that, you know, her mother called her back for lunch, but before she went back for lunch, Radha and Krishna, there's some story there that they actually both transformed themselves into peacocks and had some pastimes like that. That's in the Mor Kutir, which is, if you're going up to Barshana, it's in the other end, actually, of Barshana. I think some of you have been there, right?
Just over to Manu.
Yeah. It's just, to the Jaipur temple. It's just right near the Jaipur temple. Before, it's on the other side after you go through that, to the pass, to the tax collection pass. Okay? And, okay, so let's have a few more stories, and then I'd like to tell you stories about Radharani. So there's another story is that Krishna proves he's a brahmachari. That's another story. So once upon a time, the gopis wanted to feed Durvasa Muni to get his blessings to serve Krishna. But the Yamuna was flooded at that particular juncture. So they asked Krishna, how can we cross? We want to serve Durvasa. And Krishna said, just tell the Yamuna that Krishna's a nice diggy brahmachari. And so the gopis were saying, huh? Who's been dancing with us every night? You know, how is this possible? The gopis started laughing. You know, Krishna, you're a good joker. And Krishna said to do it. And they did it. And the Yamuna opened up immediately. And so they fed Durvasa very opulently, and they were worried how to cross the other way. And then they asked Durvasa, how are we going to cross the other way? Then Durvasa answered, tell the Yamuna that Durvasa hasn't eaten anything. And so they told the Yamuna that, and they were able to cross, and they were just like worried. You know, how has this happened? And they asked Krishna why. And Krishna said, yes, I'm a brahmachari because I'm always controlling my senses. Even though I'm engaged in these loving exchanges with you, you know, there's no question of lust. It's just loving exchange, you know, spiritual bodies. That's all. And Durvasa, his mind doesn't become attached to anything material. So he's not actually eating, you know, the soul is not eating, the body. Just like the Bhagavad Gita tells us, the one who's in Krishna consciousness sees the body doing this, the body doing that, but he understands the soul is not doing anything. That's a nice story. So here's another story. Krishna visits Jatila. So Krishna was very anxious to see Radharani. And so he started loitering around. That means just hanging around Jatila's house in Yavat. Yavat is a very interesting place in Braj. Has anyone here been there? You been to Yavat? They actually have deities of Abhimanyu, Radharani's so-called husband, Jatila and Kutila, and those are the ugliest deities I've ever seen in my life. You know, because they interfere with Radha and Krishna's pastimes. So what happened is that Krishna was just loitering there, and Jatila, this is before she suspected anything, came out, and she said, what's the problem, Krishna? And he said, I've lost my calf. I'm just searching for my calf, and I'm thirsty. And she said, all right, come in, and we'll give you some water like this. And Radharani gave him water at that time. Krishna took rest, and afterwards he was asked to milk the cow because the milkman hadn't shown up that particular day. So Radha brought the pot, and Krishna told Jatila to hold the calf. You know, you have to hold the calf so the calf doesn't drink all the milk. But Jatila was just too old to do that. So she told Radharani to do that. So Krishna was milking the cow like this, but he was milking at the same time looking at Radharani so much that practically, you know, 90% of the milk fell on the ground. You know, just milking like this. And because Jatila's eyes were very defective. They didn't have the ophthalmologists in those days. So she didn't see what was going on. But this is very interesting. The milk pot was full because the cow was so happy to be being milked by Krishna. The cow gave like 100 times more milk than it ordinarily gives. Okay? And maybe one more story. There's so many nice stories that I had written down here. This is an interesting story. This is a story of how Radharani one time dressed up as Subal and Subal dressed up as Radharani. As I mentioned before, there's apparent barriers to the meeting of Radha and Krishna, and this is to spice it up. Whether it's anger or barriers, this spices up the relationship. So what's happened is once upon a time, Krishna wanted to meet with Radharani, and this was in a place called Kokilavan. And Krishna started to play his flute. And only Radharani could hear it, because when Krishna plays his flute, what sound does it make? Radha, Radha. So he was playing like this. I'm not going to imitate. But she was hearing, Radha, Radha. And nobody else heard it like that. They just thought it's, you know, a musician playing. So she wanted to go to meet him. But this old lady, her mother-in-law, was just standing at the door. You're not getting out of this house. I know what you're up to. So Krishna, he was just waiting for her, just kept waiting for her, and he was with his friend Subal at the Kunj. And he became impatient. He started to faint. And just as much as Radharani loves Krishna, Krishna loves Radharani. And he started to chant Radharani's name. He said, Ha Radhe, Ha Radhe. And Subal got very, very worried about him. You know, what's happening? You know, just be peaceful. Because that doesn't work when someone is actually agitated. It doesn't work to say, just don't be agitated, because you can't do it, don't. Anyway, so Subal tried to do that, and Krishna said, whatever you have to do, bring Radharani here to see me. So this is the only way I will continue to live, otherwise I'm going to die. So Subal did the same thing that Krishna did in the previous story. He was loitering outside of the house of Radharani, Jatila's house. And Jatila said, what are you doing? And Subal said, I'm looking for a calf that I lost. You know, little calf. And Jatila became very compassionate. And she said, please come and take some water, and then you go look. So he came into the house and went into Radharani's room, and she was crying. He conveyed the message. Krishna's crying, and you're crying. What can we do? And Radharani said, I cannot leave this house. That mother-in-law is just standing by the door. What do you want me to do? And Subal said, I can't leave without you because I promised Krishna. So Subal said, I have a plan. I'm going to put on your dress and you're going to put on my dress. So they switched dresses, and Radharani said, but what about my hair? You know, I got all this hair, you know, because Subal, Cowboy, didn't have long hair. And Radharani has all this hair. And Subal said, no problem. You just put it, here's my turban. You can just wrap it up like this, put it under the turban, and you look just like me. Because they looked exactly the same. They were family members. You know, there's Vrishabhanu, Chandrabhanu. Chandrabhanu was Vrishabhanu's brother, and Subal was actually the son of Chandrabhan. So they were actually family members. So anyway, so they were like cousins. So, and Radharani said, but what about other parts of my body, like chest or something like that? And Subal said, no problem, just here's a calf. You carry a calf like this. And there's no problem, you know. There'll be no problem with the whole thing. So, such a funny story. So so that's what happened. Subal stayed there, dressed as a lady, with a sari or whatever they wore at that time, and Radharani left with a turban. And all the sakis, the girlfriends of Radharani, they were laughing and laughing and laughing to see Subal as a woman, the cross-dresser, and to see Radharani as a man. And so, you know, Radharani carried this little calf out, and Jatila said, oh, Subal, you found your calf. And Radharani said, yeah. You know, just speaking one word. And then she left. And when Radharani reached Krishna, she didn't reveal who she was immediately because she wanted to see how much Krishna loved her. So she just made believe that she was Subal. She wanted to see Krishna's eagerness. So Krishna said to who he thought was Subal, he said, has Radharani come? And Subal said, who's Radharani actually? Oh, I'm sorry. And Krishna said, you're always successful. How can you not do this? I can't stand it anymore. And Krishna Dutt fell to the ground, got ready to leave his body, and then Radharani removed her turban. And Krishna said, thank God. And he was so happy to meet with her. Later on, when Radharani was supposed to go to the Yamuna or worship the sun god, she and Subal switched their roles again. So that's a nice story. Anyway. Okay, one more story, actually. There's so many nice stories about Radharani. One more story, and that's it. Radharani, the next story is Krishna proves Radharani's chastity. So Radharani came to Krishna and said, you, Devachi, you've ruined my reputation. Everybody knows about us. And in Indian culture, reputation is very important, isn't it? Like Krishna says in the Gita, for one who has been honored, dishonor is worse than death. So, I mean, like Indian culture, it's just, it's very secretive sometimes, like inside the family, you know, even you could be dying, you're not allowed to tell anybody until the funeral. So what happened is that Radharani said, my reputation is too, it's finished, I can't live anymore. Krishna said, don't worry, I'll take care of this, I'll reestablish your reputation so everyone will know you're chaste. So the next morning, Krishna pretended to have a very high fever. He couldn't get up. He was just saying, oh, I can't get up. Call for the doctors. So a young doctor appeared, who happened to be an expansion of Krishna. So Krishna was the doctor, and he was the patient simultaneously. And he diagnosed his patient, and he said, this disease, I only have one medicine that will cure this disease. And there's only one way to get this medicine. This is a special drink. It's required that a supremely chaste lady, I mean someone who's absolutely chaste, has to bring Jamuna water in a pot. But the pot has to have 1,000 holes in it. And they have to cross the Jamuna with the pot, with 1,000 holes in it, with the water in it, on a bridge made of Krishna's hair. You know, a few strands of hair. So, obviously no one succeeded. But, you know, at that time, Krishna's mother, Yashoda Devi, she wanted to, and she's supremely chaste too. But the doctor said, you know, Krishna, who was the doctor, said, no, it can't be the mother. Anyone but the mother is permitted. So the doctor had put this hair from Krishna across the Jamuna, and Jatila said, I'm chaste. And Kutila said, I'm chaste. And they both fell, and the Jamuna had to be rescued. You know, they're just trying to carry it. They couldn't even get the water to stay in the pot. You know, they're just like, bloop. And they didn't know how to swim either. So they were in trouble. So the doctor finally said, Krishna was the doctor, said, I know there's one chaste lady in Vrindavan. That's Radharani. He knew that because he did this whole yantric thing. You know how you predict the future? Sometimes you do yantras. In the gypsies, they read on tea leaves. In India, they read on yantras. So he did this yantra thing. He said, oh, Srimati Radharani, she can do it. So they called for her. Radha meditated on Krishna, offering prayers. Krishna appeared, and he manifested 1,000 fingers to plug up the pot. And Radharani was able to cross on this bridge. Everyone was astounded. The other gopis were completely astounded to see this pot and everything. And everyone felt guilty for accusing Radharani, because she's the most chaste person. And Krishna was cured. So the story ends nicely. So anyway, so these stories are there to illustrate the exchanges that they have in Vrindavan. Of course, there's different rasas or tastes of different relationships. The conjugal rasa is not the only one. There's the, of course, the peaceful rasa where you just worship Krishna. There's the servitude where you serve Krishna. There's the friendship, sakya rasa, where you're the friend of Krishna. There's vatsalya rasa, where you're the parent. And finally, the conjugal rasa. And all these devotees and all the rasas, rasa means taste, not relationship. But in all these different relationships, they actually work under the jurisdiction of Radharani. And so we need to take shelter of Radharani by, I'll tell you really how to take shelter of Radharani in the best possible way, and I'll tell it in terms of a story from the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. It's, of course, the story of Gopal Kumar. Gopal Kumar was in the spiritual world with Krishna. He's a coward boy. And Radharani called him aside one day and said, I have a mission for you. Go down to the material world. There is this Mathura Brahman who is my devotee. He's actually worshiping my expansion, Durga, Kachiyani. And give him Krishna consciousness. So Krishna sent this coward boy from the spiritual world down to this material world to bring this Mathura Brahman back to Krishna consciousness. So really to please Radharani in the best possible way. And Prabhupada actually said this too. He said, those who engage in this sankirtan, they're doing this, or at least sankirtan is in the mood of the gopis, or the conjugal mood. It's not, of course, that we all put on saris when we do sankirtan and preach. That's not the point. But it's in the intense mood of the gopis. Why do we say intense mood of the gopis? Because the most intense aspect of the pastimes or interaction between Krishna and the gopis is the vipralamba seva, that is intense mood of separation. So when one is preaching Krishna consciousness, those who are preachers have experienced this, that you actually experience this intense hankering for Krishna, intense hankering for the service of Krishna, because you're bringing others. You're doing the most intimate, topmost service in this world for Srimati Radharani. As Krishna also says this in the Gita, he says, never will there be one more dear to me than he who preaches this Krishna consciousness. So this is the best way to serve Srimati Radharani. And of course, Srimati Radharani, Krishna appears in her mood in this Kali Yuga's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to teach this Krishna Nam Sankirtan. Kali Kalera Dharma, Krishna Nam Sankirtan. And this is what he does. And so we are his followers, and this is the best way to achieve Radharani's mercy. Not, you know, of course, we appreciate those who are going around Vrindavan chanting Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe. I mean, they're great devotees. But for us, the best way is to simply give others Krishna. Yare Degatari Kar Krishna Padesh Amaragai Guru Hoy Tare Desh. Wherever you go, whoever you come in contact with, give them Krishna. Okay? So any questions or comments? Yeah. I know that, but that was a specific manifestation in the spiritual world. Krishna never leaves the spiritual world, obviously. It's not that when he appears here, he's gone from the spiritual world. But for Narada Muni's edification, Krishna made it seem like that when he went there. Do you follow? You follow. So, that, you know, these are pastimes. Krishna made it seem like that. Yeah. Make sure you have the right train reservation when you take it there. That's an inside story. We had a ticket for the wrong day, and we were left on the platform in Mathura one night in the middle of the night. So that's a joke. Anyway, Hrishikesh and I were sitting on this platform in the Mathura Junction station one night, not knowing what to do, because they wouldn't let us on the train because he had the train ticket for the previous night. Anyway, it wasn't his fault because it was at midnight and you couldn't tell which day. Anyway. I'm not going to get into the explanation of the whole thing. So, actually, when one goes to Vrindavan, that's very important, is to respect the residents of the Holy Dham. Actually, Lord Chaitanya advised his associates when they visited Vrindavan that not to stay for very long, because they might see the residents of Vrindavan as ordinary people. So one has to be very cautious when you're interacting. In other words, the first injunction, just like you have yoga system, yam, what not to do. And the yoga system is eightfold practices, yam and niyam. The first one is what not to do, just in Krishna consciousness. Like in our movement, we have what not to do, the four regulative principles. So what not to do is don't offend the Holy Dham or the people who think they're ordinary people in the Holy Dham, because it's just a veneer, what you're seeing there. That is a thin layer that covers the real nature of the Holy Dham. And what to do? Serve the residents of the Holy Dham. I mean, when I go to Vrindavan, I actually think of some way to serve the people there. I try not to go in a tourist mood. Generally, when we go to holy places, we go in tourist mood, which isn't so good. You know, like Prabhupada, it's an interesting story. When Prabhupada was in Vrindavan accompanying his spiritual master on the Braj Mandal, one day they were going to see Shirodakshay Vishnu, this deity of Shirodakshay Vishnu. They made an announcement. Everybody, go to see this deity, and whoever doesn't go to see the deity, I also went to see the deity. Not that day, I wasn't there then. But when I did Braj Mandal, it's a very nice deity, floating on the ocean of milk. It's a wonderful pastime. But Prabhupada, he said, anyone who doesn't want to go to see the deity can stay back. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur will be speaking a little bit. So Prabhupada stayed back. Practically everyone else went, except for a handful of people. Prabhupada stayed back and he listened, and his spiritual master was very pleased because he was performing what is considered to be the primary service of the ninefold processes of devotional service, which is hearing. And his spiritual master blessed him. Why? He is hearing nicely. He has heard nicely. So we see, Prabhupada had this service mood. So when we go, the main thing, to answer your question, the main thing when we go somewhere, especially a holy place, we shouldn't have an enjoying mood, we should have a service mood. How can I serve? How can I serve either the residents or the devotees? I mean, like if you're in Krishna Balaram Mandir, maybe one day volunteer and serve out prasadam for everybody there. Or go help Kurma Rupa with the cow program in Vrindavan. Or go help Rupa Raghunath with the Sandapani Muni school. Just do something at the school there. There's the different services one can do. And my experience is you get actually much more ecstasy out of doing the service rather than just going around trying to see every place. When I first went to Vrindavan, I was even worse than just trying to go around and see every place. I spent half my time in Loy Bazaar. Anyone know what Loy Bazaar is? No? You don't know what Loy Bazaar is. Loy Bazaar is the shopping area. Because I was the president of a temple, or I was in charge of a temple, so I went to Loy Bazaar. And guess what? I was shopping most of the time. For the deities, not from dhotis or anything like that. But because I was in charge of the temple, I had to buy dhotis for the brahmacharis. In those days, we used to have brahmacharis. And since then they've become extinct. Like the dodo bird. Anyway, so brahmachari dhotis, And I had to even buy saris for the ladies, you know, because if I went to India, temple present, and I didn't come back with saris for the ladies, I would, or dhotis for the brahmacharis, you know, I'd get killed. So with, even instead of going on spiritual tourism, I was just shopping. And Prabhupada made the comment, Krishna is everywhere in Vrindavan except for Loy Bazaar. So anyway, after that I graduated to the tourist mode. Then I started visiting the place. Oh, Krishna jumped into the Jamuni here and chastised the Kaliya serpent. Krishna dried himself off here, which is nice. I mean, that was more enlivening than shopping in Loy Bazaar. And then after some time, I realized, here I am, you know, it'd be more satisfying for me to do some service for the Vaishnavas here. So it's, I would say the best mood to have is a service mood. I mean, you can still go and see everything, sure. But just to see things, I mean, I know devotees who just like, they visit Delhi for 2 days and they take a one-day trip to Vrindavan. And one day they have to see all the temples. If you do things so passionately like that, you don't really have the devotional mood that's pleasing to Krishna. Krishna says, Bhakti Mam Abhijanati, Yavan Yas Chasmi Tatvataha. I'm pleased by devotion. Devotion doesn't mean you just cross your T's and dot your I's properly. I was just thinking like that the other day. I was worshiping my Govardhan Shilas. And you know, when you do the worship, you say certain mantras. And usually, you know, after a while, you start to say them mechanically. Like, especially the prasadam mantra, you know, offering bhoga, because you're thinking you're going to eat afterwards. But anyways, so let me say these as quickly as possible. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Padaya Buddha Shri Mati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Namini. Three times. 1, 2, 3. Got it done. Next mantra. 1, 2, 3. Got it done. Next mantra. 1, 2, 3. 2, 3. Chant my Gayatri. Enjoy like crazy. Yeah, all right. So, you know, I sort of caught myself in that mentality, you know, of just like, and I was thinking, hey, what are you doing? What are you doing? It's just become ritualistic. I said, you know, Chris is not going to be pleased by this stuff. You got to be thinking of him as a person and thinking of what you're personally doing. I'm sure you say the mantras. It's not that, you know, you're on the Raghunuga platform. Here, Krishna, here's your food. Eat, or else I'll get angry. You know, you don't do that, but you have to do your mantras or whatever the procedure is, thinking of what you're doing. So oftentimes we just get into, you know, especially sometimes in India, and in myself too, just get into a real ritualistic mentality. We got to get this to accomplish this, right? And we forget really the whole mood of devotion. It becomes very ritualistic. It becomes, you know, just like ritualistic brahmanas we become after a while. So that's a real problem. So when you go to a holy place, don't think, you know, because I'm here, I got to visit this temple, and then you won't even think of devotion while you're doing it. Especially if you do something really passionately like that, isn't it? Just go to one temple then, and do it with devotion. Or serve one Vaishnava while you're there. I mean, Krishna says that one who says he's my devotee is not my devotee, but this is from the Adi Purana. One who says he's a devotee of my devotee is my devotee. I mean, there's so much benefit. You serve a Vaishnava. Right? So that's my thing. And don't get the wrong train ticket. No, it was fun, actually. I took it as just, you know, fun in Vrindavan. We tried to bribe our way onto the train. It didn't work. Isn't it? It's actually funny. I mean, with the wrong, you have the wrong ticket. There's no space. And I said, just offer him some money, Rishikesh. And we did. He said,
there was no seat.
There's no seat. Yeah, there's no seat. But it was a funny story. I had a good time, so don't worry. Because I was explaining this to someone. One of my disciples says, I can't stand it to go to Vrindavan because everything goes wrong. You know, or India in general. Everything goes wrong. You got to stand on lines. You got to fight with everybody. I said, yeah. That's right. But if you actually have a mood of devotion for Krishna, then it becomes, then it's not a problem. It's an adventure. You know, if something could happen, it does happen in Vrindavan. That's guaranteed. You know, what do they say, the Peter principle? Is that what it's called? If something could go wrong, it will go wrong. Oh, that's right, Murphy's Law, sorry. Peter principle is something like that in management, that people work their way up to their level of incompetence or something. Your level of incompetence. That's the Peter principle. But Murphy's Law, if something can go wrong, and it does, and that's Krishna. But you're in Vrindavan, you can chant. We were at the Mathura Junction train station, and we could chant there. There's no problem. We're still in Krishna's lap. So you're in that part of the lap or that part of the lap. It's the same. And that's how I saw it. It was fun. Thank you for the fun. Okay, and that note, we should end, take prasadam. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.